Our next case for argument is 20-1994, Roe v. Hirschfeld. Mr. Joffrey, please proceed.
Good morning, Chief Judge Moore, and may it please the Court. The C reference has a very different purpose than Roe v.'s patent, and therefore does not disclose the patent's claim limitations or render them obvious. Specifically, C's notification symbol is there for advertising purposes. It's made in order to encourage users to join C's premium club. And therefore, as an advertisement, the notification is made to everyone. And it is only after displaying that notification that C's system determines if a viewer is a member of the club and therefore special features like rewinding of the program is available. That's fundamentally different than Roe v.'s patented technology, which does not use notification for advertising. And that distinction is found in the claims. The claims require that based on determining that the archived copy is available to the user after the start time, cause an indication corresponding to the archived copy to be displayed. There's a cause and effect here. You have to first determine whether or not determining that the archived copy is available to the user after the start time. And in response, that's when you display the indication. But that's exactly backwards from C. C always displays the indication to everyone. And so therefore, that causality that's required by the claim limitation is broken in C.
Can I just ask you about the, the piece of the board decision that I've been focusing on? It calls the complementary access teaching. I don't know, is that the same as the kind of NBC CBS embodiment?
That's not quite. The complementary embodiment is a question of you can, sometimes C wants to get lots of people to join the club, so they'll give you away some of the programming.
Okay, well, maybe the thing that I'm focused on is the idea that the system, Compact, Cast, whoever, decides, you know, for this day, everybody is automatically authorized to take advantage of the options we give in the notifications. Why doesn't that satisfy the claim? Because the authorization has been made, you know, on Sunday for the Monday day of everybody can get.
Because, Your Honor, that checking, the requirement of determining whether or not the program is available, even in promotional complimentary time period, still occurs after the indication is made. And we can see that if we look at Appendix 1024. This is, on 1024, is a flowchart that displays the complimentary of the promotional information.
This is the Figure 7.
Yes, it is. And you'll see that there's figures that it refers to these four letters up here, A, B, C, D. A is where the indication is sent. So indication is sent at 764 in A. That's when you'll get the notification. The promotional question of whether somebody gets access to this free programming, you can see occurs in two ways. One is it occurs later on in 752 of that figure 7. You'll see 752 is at the bottom. And that's questioning, okay, are you going to get free access? But A has already happened. The indication's already gone through up above. And so there's always going to be, regardless of whether it's we decide, oh, everybody's going to get free access, it's that decision-making point still always happens after the indication is made. And so therefore, the causality that's required by the claim of the 741 patent is broken. If everybody's getting an indication, it can't possibly be the case that based upon determining that the archived copy is available to the user after the start time, cause an indication. That cannot happen because everybody's getting the indication. So, and furthermore, of course, Roe v. Noted in the briefing that this complementary access was only first time ever demonstrated or ever pointed to in Comcast's reply brief.
Right. So you have a kind of procedural.
We have a procedural.
I guess focused on the substance.
Right. But on the substance, it still doesn't help them because you're still getting your indication no matter what happens, regardless of whether or not later on you're either provided free access. And remember, everything still goes, if you look at this flowchart going around, everything still goes through these B, Cs, and Ds. And in B, C, and D, that is where the user is determined at 786, for example, that a person is a member of the club, and therefore the program is available to them. There simply is no instance in which the determination, are you a member of the club, is this program available to you, happens first before the indication is made. And therefore, by definition, the indication cannot possibly be based upon that determination.
Why is it based upon the board's claim construction? C is just sending it to everybody because it is available to everybody, even though it may take some additional steps for certain people that aren't part of the club.
Because C, in order to determine whether it actually is available to someone, that step is always done in C. C always has that question, is this program available? And you can always see it, it's in these figures B, C, and D. And that's exactly what Comcast pointed to. But that's always done after the fact. It's never done beforehand. And the reason why it's done differently in C, of course, is because C's indication is an advertising. Join my club. And we can see this
I want you to get back to the board's claim construction, which limits this to time and things like that, because it seems to me that that's part of what your argument is, but you have an appeal claim construction. What's wrong with viewing C as saying, we've determined that this group of users we're sending the advertisement to can access this archival copy, and so we're going to send this notification. Now, for the club members, they do it automatically. For somebody that's not a club, they're going to get a second pop-up screen that says they have to take these steps to get it. But the determining whether it's available is done prior to sending out the advertisement in some general sense that they're sending it only to people that can access it.
Because I can demonstrate why that can't possibly be true. Because take, for example, the instance where C's system was launched on day one. Nobody's a member of the club. There's zero people are the member of the club, so therefore zero people have the program available to them.
So
they still receive...
Everybody they send the advertisement to is potentially a member of the club because they're on the right computer networks or the right system. So anytime C sends that... I understand this is not the way you view this should operate, but what I'm trying to get at is, are you making a claim construction argument here about what it means to be available?
I think, Your Honor, that the posture of the case, because we thought we all agreed what available meant, including Comcast meant when they were discussing
the IGC. Well, can you show that to me? Because I didn't find that was the board made a construction on any of that.
No, the board, in fact, agreed with Roe's claim construction. So Roe v. won
the claim construction. What claim construction that Roe v. agreed to, or that the board agreed to of yours, suggests that this is the definition of available?
Well, the definition of...
Because the board's construction, as far as I can tell, just says available to user after the start time means available to user at times other than the scheduled broadcast.
Exactly, and that's fine. We're perfectly happy with that construction. The problem is the next limitation when it says, based upon that determination, you send out an indication. So the problem is not...
Let me ask you this. Under C, they have this database. Let's just assume, I'm not sure I have the facts right about C, but let's just assume they have this database of things that they can make this functionality available to users. They send out an advertisement because they have this hypothetical universe of some members and other members, potential members, and they say, this could be available to you. Why isn't that determining that an archive copy is available to this user, even though it may take some additional steps for it to become immediately available?
Well, several points, Your Honor. Then in that instance, the indication was not based upon that determination. It was just sent. So it's not just a matter of time ordering.
That again.
Sure. Because the claims require that based on determining the archive copy is available to the user after the start time, cause an indication. There's still no cause out. Even if you say, well, we send everything out and we know eventually somebody's going to be able to use it,
I still don't understand that. I mean, they're sending it out to all their users based upon their determination that this program is available.
No, they're sending it out because they would hope that some point somebody pays and makes it available to that specific user. So the reason why it based upon...
But it is available to that specific user if they pay.
Yes, but the indication can't be based... Until they actually pay, that's the point it becomes available.
I think you're arguing about what it means to be available.
We may well be arguing what is available. But to be clear, Comcast's own expert agreed with us on this point. So when he said, when we asked him about this question, he says, and this is at A351.
Well, I understand that seems to be the dispute, but if the dispute is what's the proper construction of available, I didn't read that anywhere in your brief.
That's because we believe that available is, under the plain terms of the language, what the board found. What we're saying is that the based upon language is the problem. And the reason the board went astray, and there's not substantial evidence for that, is because the board created a straw man out of our argument and said, and actually what you're arguing implicitly is that there needs to be this prepayment, and then based its decision upon that. So the reason why there was the ultimate problem with the board's decision, there's no substantial evidence, is because they set up the straw man, knocked it down, without actually addressing this causality issue that we're addressing. So my point being is there's nothing in the board's decision that is supportable, regardless of whether it's viewed as a claim construction error or substantial evidence error, because what the board was doing...
Well, let me ask you this. If I think there is substantial evidence for the board's conclusion, even though there may be a lurking claim construction issue, if you didn't appeal that lurking claim construction issue, aren't you just out?
I don't think that's correct, Your Honor, because I think that to the extent the board said that your position requires there be prepayment under this straw man it set up, and said your claim construction therefore requires that, or the claim construction ought not require that, that is both a failure under a claim construction, which we didn't appeal because...
Right, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
You didn't appeal that.
But what I'm saying, that's also a substantial evidence problem because you're looking at a argument that simply was not made by Roe v. below. So that, to put it more precisely, by appending on this requirement or believing that Roe v. was making this argument that it was not making, the board...
Look, here's the thing. We get these cases all the time where the patent owner says, or somebody says, the board made an incorrect claim construction, and it's clear from the way that it was, even though everybody had agreed on the claim construction, from the way the board applied it, it was clear they applied a different claim construction. And most of the times, we don't let people do that. But when you actually have a case where that appears to be done, why didn't you say the board is applying an incorrect claim construction here? That available means something different than just available to the user based upon time.
Because I think that we saw this as a failure not of available, but as a failure of the based upon language, the causality requirement that the board simply ignored. That they just didn't find any evidence on that separate based upon limitation. So regardless of whether or not the C eventually finds and determines that a program is available to the user, that's absolutely clear. The problem is not it is that the indication is never based upon that determination, and so therefore,
let me ask you, is C sending out just general commercial advertisements for any program, and then sometimes that program is not available at all? Or is it determining that a program that somebody clicks on is stored in their iCard somewhere and that it is potentially available to that user?
They're sending, if you are on a channel, for example, watching some program, it will send you the indication saying, join the club, and then you can watch this program.
Yes, but is it going to do that for a program that's not available at all?
In the sense that it will send it to people to whom it is
available. No, that's not what I'm asking.
Yeah.
So let's just say I'm watching, you know, a show on the Food Network, and C sends me an ad saying, you know, this is available for whatever the functionality here is, to start over or whatever. Now, is that based on the fact that they actually know that that program has that functionality?
they know, C will know that that the program is stored.
Right. Yes. So C knows that that program is available to be used with this functionality. They don't, and it, your problem is, I guess, that they don't care if this specific user can access it immediately. They just know that it's available to some users if they're already a member, or if they're not a member, they can access it later with additional steps. Why isn't that still sending a notification based upon the program's availability that the user can access this functionality?
Because, Your Honor, that means that you're not having an indication based upon available to the user that you looked up. It's simply the thought that perhaps be available.
Their view is that it's available to all users accessing this program through a certain system. Some of them may have to join a club, but some of them can join it immediately. But it's still available to every single user.
But then by that definition, existence means available. If something exists
But we're under BRI here, and you didn't further define what it means to be available.
But their own expert admits that existence doesn't equal availability. And before the ITC, Comcast argued that the question is not whether the copy exists, but whether it's available to the user. So the reason this was not teed up in the IPR was because we had all believed we were on the same page as to what availability meant.
Can I just ask you one question? Did the board determine, or is it agreed by everybody, what exactly in C constitutes the asserted indications in the effort to read this claim onto C?
I believe that, so the answer to your question is, I believe everyone is in agreement that 764, the display notification system that is in figure 7A on appendix 1025, is that notification symbol. And that's the point.
I'm sorry, I don't think I got your answer.
Sure.
You said indications, I think you said indications are advertisements.
Yes.
How do we know that?
You can see that. That's what C says at 1059. And you'll see this on paragraph 85.
And in Comcast's petition, that was the mapping?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Joffrey. Okay, please proceed, Ms. Lateef.
Thank you, Your Honor, and good morning. May it please the Court. Substantial evidence supports the Board's findings that Bogey's claims are impeccable as obvious in relation to C alone or in combination with other references that are not at issue in this appeal. To Your Honor's point, this is a situation where Bogey proposed a claim construction that the Board adopted. And in analyzing that claim construction of the determining limitation, it found that C discloses that limitation when the system determines that a club copy is stored. There is no further requirement that there be some situation where the user has access already at a prepayment of some form. And now before this court, Roby is trying to narrow that construction and try to insert some sort of prepayment or some sort of right assertion, meaning that the user already has access.
But Ms. Lateef, on page 813 of the board's opinion, the board explains the patent owner's argument in this case as implicitly arguing that available to a user requires advance purchase by the user. And then the board goes on to say that require, however, is not supported by the language of the claims. I guess I feel like the board kind of did treat this as a claim construction question, and there was some dispute between the parties and the board about what available to a user means. Is that not a correct understanding of the board's opinion?
That is a correct understanding in the sense that they agreed on what that limitation meant, and then when Roby then decided it was going to argue that there needed to be this additional prepayment, the board is saying, no, that is not required here based on the construction, and that is not required based on not only the way the claim is written, but there's also nothing in the specification that supports this now narrow reading. It's almost as if suddenly when we have this piece of prior art that reads on that limitation, they now want to insert this additional requirement that's just
I think, Ms. Lateef, as I understand Roe v.'s argument, it's that the claim itself is what requires this approach, because the claim, which says based on determining that an archived copy is available to the user, cause an indication to the archived copy to be displayed. So I think that what, if I understand their argument correctly, they're arguing the word available to the user means what it means, but then there's this cause and effect component of that claim limitation, which I see myself in the language of the claim. So what's wrong with their argument that there has to be this cause and effect? It has to be available to the user, so such that it could be accessed by that user, and that only when it's determined that it's available to the user is there an indication then sent to that user.
Because there's nothing wrong with that reading. The issue is that the board has substantial evidence to show that in C, there is this indication is called based on that determination, and that determination is made when C system checks a database and determines that there is a stored club copy. And once that determination is made, the indication is sent. If there is no stored copy, there is no indication.
No, no, that would just, I thought everybody agreed that this can't just mean archived. So it just can't mean archived. It can't be available, something's available to the user if it's automatically archived. That would render the claim language entirely superfluous, right? Because you're trying to argue that if something is archived, regardless of how limited the access might be in terms of who might get it, then it's automatically available to those all users to whom an indication is sent. That can't be right, because that would read out the whole limitation of available to the user, because the claim already requires archived.
Right, but what the claim says is based on determining that the archived copy is available to the user, this indication is
right,
sent.
Based on determining that the archived copy is available to the user. If your definition of available to the user includes everything that's archived, you've just rendered that limitation entirely superfluous.
Well, no, what the board is saying is this goes out to club users, and it also goes out to others who are non-club users. When the system says, okay, there's a broadcast show being displayed, and now the system looks at a database, and it says, is this safe? Because not all of them are. And if they find one that is, it will send a notification.
Well, but I understand, but doesn't the fact that it's saved, isn't that the definition of archived? What does the word archived mean, if not that this is actually saved?
It means that it's stored, it means that it's saved.
Right. So the claim accounts for the saving of the object, because it requires as the starting point that there's a determination that there's an archived copy somewhere. Then the claim further requires that that archived copy be available to the user. So do you not see the concern I have with you rendering entirely superfluous the available to the user language by equating it to everything that's saved is necessarily available to the user? Because the claim has two limitations, archive copy, available to the user.
Well, respectfully, what the board found is that the way the claims are written and the way that the specification is written, this reading in that it has to be available to the user by way of payment or by way of some special access is just not needed. I understand your frustration, but what I'm trying to explain is that when you have this stored copy, it is available to the user by the fact that it is stored. If it was not stored, the user would have no way to, there's no availability whatsoever. The storing is what makes it available. Otherwise, they can't rewind, they can't fast forward, they can't play back. The system is merely saying, is there something that will allow this user to use this or to watch this program in a way that is not live? To go forward, go backwards, pause. And based on the way this limitation is written, C satisfies that. And the board adopted Roby's construction and then just explained that you cannot have this additional prepayment in there, not based on the way this particular claim is written. Also, I'd say not based on the specification. There's nothing in the specification that requires this idea that you have to also already immediately have access through the through some sort of subscription or payment.
Can I just ask, is there is there any, I thought that the board was making a couple of different, laying down a couple of different bases for its conclusion. One might be what you just said, but what I had understood, and tell me if I'm wrong, is that the board was also more narrowly focusing on this kind of complementary access embodiment, under which maybe it is true to say that there is a decision by the system over and above the decision, is this program stored? If there's also a decision, is this a day or something in which every user or some group of users without further action by the user have this available? So that there is a user-specific authorization decision, though that specificity might for a period of time extend to all users, over and above the decision whether a program is archived.
Yes, Your Honor, there were several items. There was an alternative finding that the board had where there are these promotional complementary embodiments. And there are two ways that that can happen within those promotional complementary embodiments. There is the kind where you have someone who is a subscriber, and they, once the system determines that there is a stored club copy, a notification is sent, and that subscriber can have access through payment. There is another situation where you have commercial channels like NBC or ABC, CBS, where someone will have access pretty much immediately because once it's determined that there's a stored copy, the notification is sent and the user can watch it. So there's sort of subsections under the promotional complementary scenarios, and yes, that was an alternative finding from the board as well.
Ms. Lateef, my concern with what you're suggesting now is the claim requires, it clearly has what I understand to be a timing component to it, or an ordered component of steps. Based on determining that the archived copy is available to the user after the start time, causes an indication corresponding to the archived copy to be displayed. So step number one in the two-step process that I just read from the claim is that there's a determination that that archived copy is available to the user. Step number two is that once that determination occurs, then that causes the indication. So the indication to the user comes after the determination that it's available, correct?
Yes, and the issue that we're having, Your Honor, is what is available. And available under this, what the board said, is when it's stored in.
Yes, but I think, counsel, I understand that's your argument, but Judge Toronto, I believe, was trying to get you to focus on the narrower argument about whether the promotional period might meet it, and my concern with that is the discussion of the promotional period, which it seems to me appears at paragraph 80 of C, most clearly, and also is displayed on figure 7 as well, demonstrates clearly that the determination to provide free access occurs at what is block 752, which is way down the food chain after the indication is sent. So what you don't have is a determination of access, then an indication being sent. You have an indication being sent, and then subsequently, many steps later, a determination of access.
So this is sort of that same argument with the original finding that the board had. There is this determination that you're going to send the notification in these complementary access, and that only happens at 764. This determination that you're speaking of, Your Honor, is sort of the first subsection I was talking about, where if a subscriber then gets this notification, they would still pay into the system. They're not a club member.
Yeah, but Council 764, which is in Figure 7A, all occurs in Block A on Figure 7, which is 760. Is that correct?
1 second, Your Honor.
764 is located in Figure 7A. That's where you display the notification symbol. And all of Figure 7A is encapsulated in number 760 on Figure 7. And I guess my point to mentioning that is that you see that that is one, two, three, four steps below the determination of whether there's provided free access. So again, the determining in reference to 764 and 760 is occurring after the notification is sent.
Again, that 752 that you're looking at provides free access. That, again, is just that you're saying you now have, it sort of goes back to the when does access happen. You now are able to.
Well, the reference tells us when access can happen, right? In paragraph 80, whether to grant such complementary access is determined at step 752. So it seems that the reference itself explicitly tells us what they mean.
But Your Honor, the limitation says based on determining that the copy is available, a notification is sent. The notification is going to be sent prior to that point on paragraph 80 that you're talking about, and prior to 752.
Right, that's the problem. That's the problem, counsel. The problem is that this claim covers a notification coming after a determination, and your prior art reference only discloses a notification coming before a determination. That's exactly my problem.
Well, I think the board found that the notification comes based on determining that the archive copy is available. That's the whole essence of the board's decision. It is saying that this particular limitation does not need this what would be considered the access in terms of I'm now going to sit here and watch it. The notification comes, a user can hit a playback, that's where we want. In addition, you do have the other type of complementary access where someone is watching a commercial channel like NBC or CBS, they then would be able to, if there's no payment involved at all, is someone paying for this, is someone not paying for this? The notification is sent, they hit the remote control, they're watching this stored program.
Does the figure 7 flowchart apply to that embodiment in C? Because if it didn't, then the sequencing laid out in figure 7 might not confine that embodiment. But if it does, that's a different story.
It's not clear to me, Your Honor, because the commercially, the ones that deal with commercial channels, I'm not sure that there is actually a figure that corresponds to that one.
What paragraph of C would you like us to look at as the embodiment you think solves the concern I have about the timing?
APPS 167. Paragraph 176 talk about some of the embodiments discussed, the president mentioned in terms of, and then I can go down a couple lines that talk about different pay-per-view services, home shopping, and this is commercial supported channels.
And so was the board also citing to paragraph 76?
Yeah,
I think those.
Going backwards, I don't have it. But yes, if you look at APPS 1058, paragraph 76, if you go down a couple lines, it says, however, other embodiments could provide the privileges of club membership without belonging to the subscription. For example, community-supported television could have this ability to pause, rewind, and fast-forward instead of a subscription service. And the board relied on that type of commercially supported services.
But this doesn't say anything about when the notification is provided. This doesn't address the timing issue at all because it doesn't address it. It just is completely silent.
Well, it's saying it's another embodiment where one could watch a stored program.
But it doesn't say when notifications are being sent, so we don't know if it's before or after, right? Can I just ask you, if we agree with Roe v., that the claim requires pre-notification determination of availability. If we agree that that's what this claim requires to a specific user, is there any dispute that C does not teach this?
If you agree, can you rephrase that? I'm sorry.
If we agree with Roe v. that this claim requires a pre-notification determination, I'm trying to pull in my timing concept, a pre-notification determination of availability to a specific user, is there any dispute C doesn't teach this?
I think I would point to the paragraph we just looked at with the commercially.
You would point to paragraph 76? That would be your response?
And I would point to paragraph 176.
Okay.
And can I just ask you the same question I asked Mr. Joffrey? What piece of C constitutes the claimed indication? Is that disputed? Where do I find that?
No, it's not. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It is on page APPX 1059, paragraph 85.
Paragraph 85?
Yes, that's the talking about when the notification is sent, and that's the indication. You'll see if you go down, it says if a club program is being displayed, a club notification symbol is shown on the identifier, 764, and then it kind of talks about what that could look like. Such a club notification symbol may comprise, for example, a special icon or alphanumeric string, and I'll let you do the rest, but that's the
section. So what one, am I right in thinking that for the paragraph 76 commercial television situation, there's no particular reason to think that there would ever be such a club notification symbol sent, since you don't need to be a member of any club?
Yeah, but she's still going to want to try again. I think one of the things I'll see is going to want you to be a member of the club, it's going to want you to subscribe. So that notification would be sent, and it would still say, hey, look what you can watch. And you would still have that in those embodiments, still wanting to draw people in. But it almost like if you think of something that seems like a tester, so that you'll come back.
And just to be clear, I it seemed to me when I was reading the claim initially that it was not clear to me whether the indication that is required could be satisfied by just displaying on the screen a choice. And if you press that button, then you start getting the playback or something. Without any advertisements or promotions or anything like that, this is why I guess I'm asking about whether it was agreed what part of C is the indication. Because if it's a promotion, some sort of promotion of club membership, then that's a much narrower possibility for what this claim language might cover, which is just, you know, today everybody gets to use this playback from the beginning function, so we're going to just display a button that says press the key 3 in order to start the playback. No advertisements, no promotion, no requests or anything. But I gather it is agreed that that would not count.
Well, I don't know if that's true. As I look at 85, so it says at the first part of it, paragraph 85, it's talking about what the notification is and the alphanumeric symbol. But then it then talks about further, it says in certain embodiments, sorry, give me one second. Such consistency reinforces the meaning of the notification symbol, serving both to sharpen its recognition value and to increase its effectiveness in advertising the special club features. I think there's, the way I read that paragraph, there's kind of two things going on. It's, yes, you can just watch this thing and play it back, and we have this additional sort of advertisement. I'm not really sure how it's laid out, but I think that,
but in Comcast's petition, did it specifically map this kind of club symbol portion of paragraph 85 as the claimed indication? I think Mr. Joffrey said yes.
Yes, I think that's right. You can look at APPX 232 and its petition. It cites that paragraph. When it's talking about this particular limitation, it's the first paragraph of the site, but I don't think that takes away from the argument that a commercial embodiment would have a notification or not. But yes, to answer you, Your Honor, it is there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Lateef. Mr. Joffrey, you have 3 minutes of rebuttal time, and we went over with Ms. Lateef, so if you need to go over a little bit, we'll be indulgent.
I appreciate the indulgence, Your Honor. I'll try to be briefer. I think throughout this, it's important to actually go back to what the board did. So we can talk about these MBC models of paragraph 76. None of this discussion is found in the board's decision. Board's decision, to be quite clear, is all focused primarily upon this straw man argument that Roe v. The requirement that they allege, implicitly argue that Roe's making, that the user purchased the club membership in advance of the indication being displayed. That's what the board actually says on A38. And then it subsequently, throughout, over and over again through the opinion, relies upon that straw man argument and shoots it down. And the problem with substantial evidence, Your Honor, is that you actually have to have substantial evidence on the point at issue. You can't make a straw man, shoot it down, and then say there's substantial evidence for that point. So there simply is no description of, for example, indications in NBC kind of programming. That none of that's discussed in the board's opinion whatsoever. And furthermore, that makes sense because there's nothing in C that's talking about indications in that context. Everything is tied back to figure 7 and the flowcharts that we've been discussing, where the indication is always quite present before there's any determination. To be quite clear, it's not as though C was in a place where it was not clear when programs were available to the user. C makes quite clear when it is making programs available to the user. Those are all done in figure 7B, 7C, 7D.
Just to be clear, a question. Does C say when we set out figure 7, this is the procedure that applies to every scenario that we are discussing here, or does it say here's one embodiment of what this patent is about?
You are quite right that there's a lot of the boilerplate language that this is an embodiment, this is not limited. So you can see that throughout. That said, the thing that Comcast pointed to and the thing that was discussed before the board is all the discussion that pertains to figure 7. So there's not some other... It's essentially silent.
So this might not have necessarily been limited by C, but I gather your position is that it is sufficient for your purposes is that it was limited by Comcast and its presentation.
That's absolutely right. And it's furthermore limited by the board's own decision. The board discussed what the board discussed. And so I think going back to what the board discussed, there simply is no substantial evidence based upon the way that the board actually proceeded. And if there's no other questions.
Okay, thank both counsel. This case is taken under submission.